Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Dr. Mark McLaughlin, and he's been showing us some really good morning routines that will help reduce stress and bring life to our lives. Now, I just over the break, I've been thinking, you know, you could be doing neurosurgery in the morning, and you could be playing in the afternoon like a kid in the park and not carry that with you the way you're doing things.
That's the goal. It's not always that easy to switch it off. But I do think that having a routines help me, shift gears into different parts of my life. That is true.
And the meditation allows you to drop back into exactly where you are in the present moment and leave the filing and the planning and everything else that's already, you've already done it in the morning. So it should relieve a lot of that stress that we carry through life.
That's right. The third step is for me to open up my Franklin Planner, which is, I tried many times to go with a computer, a handheld scheduling system.
Right.
And my assistant does still have certain events that land on my phone to remind me. But I never was able to see the month really well laid out, nor even the week really laid out on my handheld device. And so I reverted back to a Franklin Planner about 10 years ago, and I've been so happy with it because, it's a pencil, book, old-time system. Anytime I have a phone conference on that day, there's a little side sheet where I can write the notes of that day. It has a to-do list on the other side, so that's my third part of the morning is to what are the three most important things I'm going to do. I try to keep it to three because over three, you're likely not to get more than that done. So I try to keep three important things on that list to get done. And if I get those three done, then I've already hit a home run for the day, and maybe I can tackle a few more.
Now, you know a lot about the brain, being a doctor and a neurosurgeon. Is there something about our brains that makes it easier to put it on paper? Like, I know I'm old-fashioned. I love pencil and paper. But are our brains meant to be able to see things better, or are the new brains actually doing just as well on all the digital?
I think you have a good point that the more ways you see something, feel something, it goes from your brain into your hand, into your fingers, into the pen, into the ink, then back into your eyes, back to your occipital lobe. That's another circuit, and I agree with you that is very reinforcing, especially when you're looking at your goals. There's just something human about putting a pen to paper. I don't know if that's ever going to truly go away. I mean, it's pretty funny nowadays. I think the only way to have an impactful, notification to somebody is to send them an old-fashioned letter because they're not reading half of their emails, right? And they're not checking half of their texts. And so for me, if I really want to send something impactful, I go back to the old-fashioned writing and addressing them with a note.
Yes, it feels good, and it feels so personal compared to the other way. I have to say that's the way I was raised, so it's easy. It feels good to me. But I'm just wondering if the brains are changing, like if the younger brains that have never even had a nice card written to them, if they're adjusting. Are the brains changing?
There's no question. Whatever you do with your brain, whatever the activity is, it's going to change. It's a constantly adapting device. But I would advocate that the writing of this is more active. Similarly, I mean, I'm a huge believer in reading, and actually reading a book, looking at a book and reading it, because I think that it gives you an active sort of empathy as opposed to a passive empathy. If you watch a movie and you see a character who maybe is undergoing something tragic, you do see them and you feel and you identify with them. But when you're reading, you become that character and you actually experience that tragedy in a more active way. So I really believe that, there's many different ways to consume information, but I think the old-fashioned reading and writing is so basic and helpful to us being humans.
So, Mark, do you think we should be encouraging our young ones to carry on with that in this day and age?
To carry on with reading.
With reading and writing and not doing everything digitally.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we middle-aged people need to become a little more digital savvy, and our younger generation need to understand some of the old-fashioned ways of communicating as well. There's so many different ways of communicating now. If I didn't, you know, text, I wouldn't be able to, you know, have to talk to my kids a lot in this day and age. So they need that. We need that too. But if I really want to do something special for my children, I write them a note.
Mm-hmm.
I send them a note with a, you know, a thought or an article that's interesting, and I send them a note. And I think that's a really nice gesture. If you've taken a portion of your time to devote to them, and I think it means something. And maybe it's not even conscious. Maybe it's subconscious, but it is. It's there and it's real.
Mm-hmm. So between meditating, filing, and planning in the morning, does that take about an hour of your time before you head into your day, or is it have you got it down to quite a fast routine?
It doesn't take an hour. I think that, you know, really it takes about 15 to 30 minutes to get that done once you get your system down. I'll ask myself when I'm plopping something in my tickler file, you know, is this something you need to get done in the morning? Because you want to get done in the morning. You want to have that early victory. Mm-hmm. That gives you momentum going into the day. So I'm not going to drop a super heavy project into my morning tickler system. That's going to have to get booked on my schedule for the week, maybe carve an hour or two out during office hours or something like that, or in the evenings. So I think you'll get a system down where it only takes about 30 minutes. The other hour or hour and a half that I have in the morning, that's my fun time. You know, that's when I read or I write. I'm working on a book that's almost done, so I'm hoping that, you know, I can keep it. That's my fun time when I can write or think about my book and just do the first 2 hours are the only time of the day that I can have some control over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really, if I can get that in, then everything else of the day, no matter what happens, I feel good. I've paid myself first.
Mm-hmm. So these three little routines allow for that creativity and the fun during the fun time before you head to work.
It's the key to peace of mind. And, you know, it didn't come easy. This didn't happen overnight. I finally, after, you know, maybe I'm coming up on my 20th year of neurosurgery, about 10 years ago, I just started realizing, like, I'm going to blink my eye and, you know, my career's going to be over. I need to do more things that I like to do. It's great. I love helping people. I'm a very happy doctor, but I also have other areas of interest that I want to keep developing. Some of my speaking engagements and my writing are really important to me. I coach a youth wrestling team. I heard the advertisement on the break for the Indigenous Wrestling Clinic. That's amazing that came on, because I'm a wrestling fanatic. So it was
the universe conspires.
I need to hear.
Yes. Oh, that's great. So how can we find, David Allen's book, and you should mention that app again, the 10% Happier, I think. And how we find, what's your new book about? What's coming?
My book is called Cognitive Dominance, A Brain Surgeon's Quest to Outthink Fear. And it's a book that I've been working on for about 3 years, although it's been sort of a lifetime of discovery. I was a philosophy major in college, and I've always had this inquisitive part of me that asks a lot of questions. And so as I was going through, you know, coming up on my 20th anniversary of being a neurosurgeon, I just kept thinking about, wow, neurosurgery has really changed me, and in many good ways, and some ways I prefer it not to have changed me, but it changes you. And, you know, the experience you have of saving people's lives, of losing patients' lives, of having decisions that need to be made on a regular basis that can be life or death, or could result in somebody having a stroke or having a spinal cord injury. Conversations that you have with families about, you know, brain injuries and neck injuries and brain tumors. I realized that this is an incredible experience of decision making, and I didn't want it to let it go and just write a book, a memoir about neurosurgery. There's plenty of great books about neurosurgical memoir. Henry Morris writes a great book, Do No Harm, which I highly recommend if you're interested in neurosurgery. But I wanted to write a book about how does somebody metabolize fear? How does somebody experience anxiety and fear on a regular basis and metabolize it in a way that doesn't make them lose their mind? And that's what I had to do over the last 20 years. So it's a story about my life, but it's about a mental technique that I've developed. I learned some of it up at West Point lecturing, and it's a technique to, when we encounter fear, to outthink it.
Mark, we're going to have to end this program. We're running out of time, but we'd love to talk to you again when your Cognitive Dominance book comes out, because it sounds like a fascinating read. So thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing all that you know about best morning routines and all about neurosurgery. Thanks so much.
Thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Okay. We'd also like to thank Alan, our producer, and we'd like to thank all the stations across Canada that carry our program. Have a healthy and happy day.